Vengeance and recompense. We're almost done with this, but let's get just a little bit more out of it here. Starting at verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Say, I'm a son of God. Now, we're not talking about sons there having to do with gender. We're talking about sons having to do with mature offspring. So I'm a mature offspring of God. You with me? All right. Now, also, after the Gospels, Jesus is never again called the only begotten Son of God. Because after the Gospels, he's called the firstborn. Because now you the secondborn. You got what I'm saying? You're in the same family as him. You got the same thing in you that he has in him. All right, and then verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, let me just say something about that. I believe the number one fear and the strongest, I don't think it's death, the spirit of death. I think it's a spirit of fear. And the spirit that you want to get rid of most is that spirit of fear. Because that spirit will open the door to a whole lot of other things coming in your life. And God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And fear is a spirit. That means you can't feel it with your natural until you get frightened. That's when you see it manifest. But it was there all the time. So we're going to get rid of all fear with this message here. Praise God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Say, I'm an heir of God.
I'm an heir of God.
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, I won't go down anymore because I've read this many times. But you're an heir of God. You're an heir of God. Now, God owns some stuff. I took you through it last time. He said on Proverbs chapter 50, Psalm chapter 50, he said that the cattle on the thousand hills are mine. Well, if you know the cattle are his, the hills are his too. He said also that all the wild beasts, they're mine. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine. Over in Haggai, he said, the silver and the gold is mine. Now, I'm just telling you what you've inherited, because God cannot eat a cow. Okay? He doesn't need any milk. God has that cow for you. And I'm saying that's part of your inheritance. But remember, in the kingdom, all the blessings of God are first spiritual. And then you have to bring them into the natural, the practical world. Now, you do that by faith. However, an immature person or believer, it's difficult for them to do it because they're still having their senses to rule them. You see, let me tell you something. Your senses don't know very much. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. When you're coming up against problems today, the first thing you hear people say is, well, what are we going to do now? Now, notice what they're doing. They're searching their senses to see, is there any solution in that realm? But the deal is that the church has another realm that it can seek solutions in. Said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. See, there's a whole nother realm that called the realm of revelation or eternal life that has all the solutions. There is not one problem in this earth that the solution has not already been put aside for. There is a solution to Afghanistan. There is a solution to the terrorism in this country. Now, the people who's supposed to come up with it are the Christians. Yes. We're supposed to come up with it. This is one of the ways God is going to promote you and distinguish you. Well, go back in history. Look at Daniel. He came up with that Nebuchadnezzar didn't have a solution. Daniel said, hey, listen, let me have it overnight. I can tell you what the deal is. Came back the next day, told him exactly what he dreamed, so forth and so on. Look at Joseph's life. Here is Pharaoh had a dream, didn't know what it meant. It bothered him, and he came back, and Joseph told him what was coming and how to get out of it. I'm saying you should tell him what's coming and how to get out of it. Now, I'm talking about the normal Christian life. I was talking to my wife, just talking to tell me something about, she and my son were talking and talking about what was happening in the history of the Christian church and what was going on, and that there were miracles taking place that were, for example, during some of the times of the Crusades and Inquisition, so forth like that, they were really persecuting Christians. I mean, some Christians were dismembered. Somebody would cut their arm off or something like that. Now, listen to what I'm saying now. And when they cut the arm off, their arm would grow back. And some of them, they'd cut it off four or five times and they'd grow back. Or I know it was write-ups about the burned at the stake. As you recall, people like Wycliffe and people like that. Now, their mission was to get the Bible in the hands of every person. But there were people, leaders, who did not want that. And they wanted the Bible shut up in monasteries. That's when we went into the Dark Ages. And so they were going to burn people like Wycliffe, people like that, at the stake. So they would take them. And they would tie them to a stake, you know, stand them out in a public place, tie them to a stake, and have the fire down there, and light the fire, and burn the fire. But they wouldn't burn. Now, wait a minute. This is normal Christian life. If you burned, you were abnormal. Oh, Lord, I see now we're going to have to preach this thing here today. Now, what I'm saying, you know that can be true because I can show you in the Bible where three Hebrews refuse to bow down to this idol of statue. And they threw them in a fire. Not just any fire. One that was heated 7 times hotter than normal. Now, how hot does fire have to be to burn you? Now, answer the question. How hot does fire have to be to burn you? All it had to be is fire. Am I right? You don't need to heat it up. But Satan tries to intimidate you. So whatever your problem is, he tries to heat it up. You got it? Because he's trying to make you bow. But if you don't bow, you won't burn. I said if you don't bow, you can't burn. Lord Jesus. Woo-wee. Oh, ha-ha-ha. Now, I know it looks bad. And it looked bad for them. And some people say, well, why did God allow them to go in there? Well, it didn't make any difference with God. They couldn't burn them anyway. So they went in there, and he looked in there. He said, didn't we throw 3 in that fire? They said, yes, you did. He said, well, I see 4. And the 4th one looks like the Son of Man, Son of God. Now, it's very interesting here. It didn't burn them. So tying them at the stake and lighting this and it don't burn them, that's the same difference. What's different about that? I mean, these are capital punishment. This means put it in an electric chair. Won't electric. Won't. Y'all follow what I'm saying here. Let me come over here. Now, but put them in an electric chair. Look, it won't electrocute them. No difference. No difference. I'm talking about here was John, the Apostle John, and they lowered him, tied him up, pulled him up on a rope, had boiling oil, and lowered him down in there. Pulled him back up, and he said, "How you boys doing?" I'm putting that in my own words now. They couldn't kill him. How would you? These are people you can't kill. I'm talking about if all fear is gone, there'll be a force coming out of your spirit that will not let anything happen to you. Now listen here. So they couldn't kill him, so they exiled him. That means put you out. And they exiled him to an island out there called Patmos all by itself and put him out there. Then they tell me put him in a hole down there. But he wrote the book of Revelation out there. Here's a man you can't stop. Turn to Joel chapter 2. Now listen. What I'm saying is this whole thing is about boundaries. See? It's about where are your boundaries? Because God, when Jesus came into the earth, his boundaries were unlimited. They were unlimited. And he was trying to show Peter the same thing. Peter saw him walking on water and said, "Wait a minute, is that you? If that's you, you tell me to walk on water." And he walked on water. He's showing him, let's reset your boundaries here. Because you think water can stop you. You think fire can stop you. Come on now. You don't think you can take two fish and feed 20,000 people. That's because you got boundaries. I have to show you that film one day about breaking the sound barrier. The pilot went and they're showing how it looked when he was breaking it. And they thought that if you ever go faster than the speed of sound, you will disintegrate. And so they were going out and they had built a jet that would go faster than the speed of sound. So he got in there and everything and started going and got up to the certain all way up to that barrier, didn't cross it yet, got up to that sound barrier and didn't cross it, and the whole airplane started to shake to the point that the instrument glasses begin to break. Now understand, he could have backed off right there, but he said, "I'm going on." And he went on, and once he crossed that barrier on the ground, you heard something called a sonic boom. Boom! If you ever heard airplane fly, because I flew jets, we had to be limited as to how fast we could go, because you go faster than certain knots, over 600 knots and so forth, you begin to get in that sound barrier area and you break that sound barrier, and everywhere you go over the earth, they're going to hear this huge boom, and sometimes it shakes dishes off the table and so forth and so on. And you know, that's it. We couldn't fly over a mink farm, because if we flew fast over a mink farm, minks would think, they would, in their mind, they'd say, "Ooh, I got to reproduce." And they'd start reproducing just because you flew over it. And then we get this big bill. They want to, the farmers would file suit and so forth. But anyway, and I don't know what sounds got to do with mink reproducing, but it does. You can't fly over the mink farm. They'll hear that sound and say, ooh, it's time. And but anyway, so anyway, he broke it. But the airplane was shaking when he got to the barrier. But once he crossed the barrier, it smoothed out. Just as smooth. So I'm saying, when Satan comes at you and you're crossing over into another boundary, you might be shaken a little bit, but wait till you cross over that thing again. And nothing but peace will come on you because you cross. Say amen to that. So anyway, it's all about boundaries. It was about boundaries with Sister Rosa Parks. She said, I'm not sitting back there no more. Come on, that was a boundary said, you can't sit up here. She said, I ain't sitting up there. I'm not sitting back here no more. I'm moving up front. And then moved up there, and then the man said, hey, the law says you got to sit back there. She said, I don't care, I'm not moving.
That's right.
What was that law? It was unjust. And I'm telling you, you're here for unjust laws. You're here when laws do not agree with heaven. I'm saying that there have been unjust laws on the books. And one of the major things that's going to happen with the coming of the kingdom is justice. That laws that have been unjust and have been causing people all kinds of problems, keeping the poor poor and so forth and so on. Folks, there are some unjust laws on the books. Now, I'm not saying a lot of them in the United States, but a lot of them in a lot of other nations. I'm saying you and I have been coming into this earth, and part of our charge is to bring justice. Amen. Does it make sense to you? All right. So, where have I have you now? Where do I? Okay, Joel chapter 2. Now, in Joel chapter 2, now, what was I saying? I was saying boundaries. And the boundaries, basically, are in our minds. Because as it stands now, God can do some things, but he can't do it beyond what you're willing to believe. And a matter of fact, what you believe is where you're going to end up. As a man believeth in his heart, what? So is it. Now, look what it says here in Joel. Praise God. Boy, y'all got me stopping here. I wanted to keep going here. Flow, okay. Look what it says in verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm, my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh and is nigh his hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there's not been ever like the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now he's talking about there the church, okay? Go on down to verse 7. And they shall run like mighty men, and they shall climb up the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, come on, they shall not be wounded. I'm talking about you becoming invincible. Not only invincible, what is the word that I gave you? Impervious, praise God. Say, I'm impervious. You might say, well, what does that mean? Go look it up, praise God. Just write it down, go look it up. That's good exercise for you. All right, now, as we look at this, like I said, that Jesus came preaching the kingdom, and that vengeance or justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. And understanding vengeance creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Understanding vengeance. Now, what we said is we had to define vengeance because folks were not defining vengeance or did not see vengeance as what vengeance really was. And we said vengeance has nothing to do with anger or hatred or anything like that. But vengeance has to do with nothing to do with some kind of emotional resentment again and so forth like that. But vengeance proceeds from a love of justice and is a necessity for punishing offenders. Now, we didn't go into recompense yet because recompense is tied into this. But I'm going to give you a little bit on it, but I'm going to leave a lot to you to look up to go in and do some study on recompense yourself. Now, the ministry of Jesus Christ has been duly and completely handed over now to the person of the Holy Ghost. He is not an it. He is a he. He is the third member of the Godhead. Now, the gospel is not about how many things somebody did wrong, but it's a restoring what sin destroyed and Satan stole. And the theme of justice is woven throughout the fabric of the Bible. Now, I've given you a lot of that. All right. Now, you and I are going to be distinguished in these last days. Now, the church is really the only one that can come up against the devil, because the devil is unseen. Now, what he has done is he has built a system and put up people who have been blinded to run that system. Demons enforcing it. Now, God has sent us out there to establish a new system, the system of the kingdom of God. And we are not using natural weapons, because you cannot stop the power of Satan with a gun, a knife, a rocket, or atomic bomb. You can't stop him. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. And the enemy's greatest ploy is to keep the church or people blinded so that they are oblivious to what he is doing. And so we have got to enter into this warfare on a different level. Because part of our job now is to establish God's kingdom throughout this entire earth. All right. Now, the greatest, one man says, shift has to take place in our paradigm or perception of who we really are. That we've got to learn what God has said about us and what we have been given the power and authority to do in this earth. Now, like I said, nothing can stop you, because now God has vengeance and recompense working for you. And the number one job of the Holy Spirit is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. Now, this lady, I got this from a book. A man told about this story of this lady who was interviewed by a reporter, and he was asking her, why did she enjoy going to baseball games? And the woman had a situation where she was blind, yet she enjoyed it. She said, well, I enjoy the sound of what's going on, of the crowd. I enjoy the smells that come from the hot dogs and the popcorn. I enjoy the feeling of excitement when I walk into the stadium, and I listen to the commentator and just imagine what's going on in my mind. And so then he began to ask her about the players. She said, oh yeah, I know the players. And one of the persons that she knew well was Ted Williams. Now, if you know anything about Ted Williams, he still holds the record, I guess, for batting average over 400. And this was back since the 40s when Ted Williams played. I remember when I used to buy a baseball bat. Baseball bat was on the label, said Ted Williams. And so he was very popular. But she said something. He said, well, what do you know about Ted Williams? She said, when Ted Williams stands up in the dugout, I know it. She said, when Ted Williams hits a home run, I know it. And he began to ask her, now, what do you mean? You know that. He said, how do you know that? She said, I can feel a change in the atmosphere. Now, this is interesting. I want you to get this now. I want you to get the fact that I believe when you understand vengeance and recompense and understand who you are and get the complete paradigm shift, so you're no longer somebody in this earth wasting time, but you're somebody in this earth shifting time, that I believe when you walk into a room, the atmosphere will shift. I believe that every demon spirit will bow down and let you pass. I believe, you follow what I'm saying? I believe there's mantles coming on God's people in these last days that they're going to pick up, that another man didn't finish the work put down, but they're going to pick them up, and that mantle is going to go right on you, and you're going to have gifts and callings on your life that perhaps you didn't have a minute ago, and all of a sudden it's going to change in your life. You see what happened to the children of Israel. One day they were in Egypt, a slave. The next day they were loaded, coming out. I'm telling you, if he can load you with finances, he can load you with mentality. He can load you with skill. He can load you. I'm saying there are going to be some supernatural things, and somehow God's people have left the supernatural and just lend them their minds to the natural, but we're going back there. We're going to pick up those things. We're going to come back to the fact that the weapons of our warfare are no longer carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let me tell you again, if you understand vengeance, you will face your enemies. When you understand vengeance, all fear will leave you. When you understand vengeance, you'll know where your help comes from. Let me give you what happened to me. I was here in Forest Park, and God bless the people who were here. But when we were moving into this facility, we were across the street in this banquet house, and we now had that had closed, and that next Wednesday we were to have services on the east end of this particular building. Well, we were supposed to have it on Wednesday night, but that Tuesday I got a call. And they said, the council have voted in the village and you cannot have services there. They have passed an ordinance that you can't have services or whatever. And I said, oh my goodness. I said, now wait a minute now. Now this is kind of late. I got all these people coming to this place tomorrow night. They said, well, you can't go in there. The police are going to be there and you cannot go in there. Now, I don't know what to do now. Now understand, I understand that God is with me. I understand that I'm not in this world alone, and that as I'm going in this building, I'm going in here based on God's direction. Say amen. And not based on men. And I had to understand, according to Isaiah 33 and 22, that God is the judge, that God is the lawgiver, and God is the Lord is the king. That means he rules over all of this. So what did I do? I said, my goodness, what's going on now? And I started to ask some of the people who were skilled in legal matters and lawyers, you know, and so forth. And I said, you know, what shall I do here? They said, Pastor, look like you just going to have to sue them. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, well, how long will that take? Well, that could take about 5 years. I said, 5 years? Man, I got to be in there tomorrow night. What are you talking about 5 years? Now, I want you to understand, when David came up to that front line to take care of Goliath, the first thing Saul tried to do is he tried to put his armor on David. Now understand, David had never been in the army. He had never been trained like that. I'm talking about they trying to put their education on you. But that's natural solution. And I'm telling you, that doesn't go very far. You have access to another level of solution. And when I heard that, one of them said, let's go up north and try to find a place way up north and so forth and so on, up by O'Hare, and we could meet there and so forth. I said, wait a minute, ain't nobody gonna run me out of this place now. I'm just, understand now, every place the soles of my foot shall tread upon, both to be mine. Now, listen, here's the deal. I said, okay, now it's key that I didn't get into a hate thing. Because vengeance is not about hate. It's not about resentment. It's not about getting angry and getting retaliation against somebody. If you do that, you step out of love. And if you step out of love, faith doesn't work. And if faith don't work, the vengeance won't work. So I had to stay in love. I couldn't hate. I couldn't start talking and running down people because I knew they weren't behind it. It was the devil. I wrestled not against flesh and blood. It wasn't them. The devil didn't want us to come in here. So what did I do? That night I went to bed early, and I got up early and got before the Lord. You see, when you don't know what to do, get on your knees. And when you don't, come on now, when all things seem like they have failed, get down on your knees. Because God promised you that you can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. I needed God right then. So what did I do? I got down on my knees. Not only did I get, I got the strategy and I got the comfort or the confidence of God. He loaded it in my system. So I got up and said, praise God. Now, what did he tell me to do? Take your Bible. Don't take King James. Take the Living Bible. And take down and of Romans 13 and about 5 or 6 verses. And then take them and read them to the mayor. Now understand, the mayor then was not the mayor now, all right? And our relationship with the village is wonderful. I mean, we are partners in a couple of things, and it's just wonderful. So get that out of your mind. We ain't mad at nobody. We ain't tripping off of that. You need to get rid of that anyway. If you got bitterness in your heart about anybody anyway, you need to get out of it, because unforgiveness will not work in the kingdom of God. So what happened then is as I got the scriptures and I did exactly what the Lord said. Now, in the natural, that did not seem like a solution, did it? But it seemed foolish to me just to read that. Now, what is that going to do? But I wasn't concerned about a natural solution. The spiritual solutions many times seem foolish to the natural mind. So I went in, called a meeting, got the meeting, sat down in the room, began to read, I talk a little bit, then I began to read this Romans chapter 13. All of a sudden, the mayor jumped up, whoa, and kind of stepped back. Now, it wasn't the people that are there now, so just get that out of your mind. And jumped up, and I saw this look and so forth, and they went in the other room and came back and said, Reverend, I don't know what to do. It looked like they voted on this and so forth. Let me see, can I find some of the counselors or commissioners and so forth? I said, okay, fine, praise God. And so can I call you back in an hour? I said, oh yeah, I'm here. I ain't got nowhere to go. I'm gonna be right here. And called me back in an hour. Said, listen, I cannot find them. I don't know what's happening, so forth, and none of them I could locate them. But listen, here's what you do. You just go in there, and I'll keep the police away. And you take your people in there for one night. Now, just Wednesday night. I said, oh, okay, all right. Praise the Lord. Now, wait a minute. God ended up changing the whole thing and so forth and so on. And you are here right now. Now, my point to you is, say amen, somebody. So the Holy Spirit got involved. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying because I stayed in love, because I trusted in God, because I didn't get bitter and start hollering a whole lot of racial stuff, because I, come on now, I don't care who you are, what color you are, what background you are, what jail you've been in, if you come into God's way of doing things, He will promote you. He will put you on top because you are His child. You got what I'm saying? Now let's get away from all the stuff that the world is trying to use, because it doesn't, you don't need to do that. You got the Holy Ghost. You got someone that's going to fight your battles for you. You got angels all around you. They're waiting for you to give a command. You will never let the corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You're going to say, praise God, we'll be in there tonight. Praise God, everything is wonderful. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you stand up like that anyway, and I'm not just talking about the village, I'm talking about anybody. You know, when you stand up against things, that favor kicks in. And favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair, folks. Favor kick in, and folks will like you who couldn't like you before. They couldn't stand your guts before, but now they can't wait to get around you. Oh, Reverend, come on in. Yes, sit down. Praise the Lord. Want a cup of coffee? No, I don't drink coffee. But anyway, my point to you is it doesn't make any difference. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is kind of piggybacking on what I was talking about last time when you came in here. That man that shot all those people up there in Connecticut. That's a tragedy for both sides. It's a tragedy. And then he shot himself. What? He saw no hope. He saw no solution in this natural realm. But you're not limited to this natural realm. You are not normal. Right. Do you follow what I'm saying? You got access to weapons that no human being has access. You got the blood. You got the name. You got the word. You got angels. You got everything you need to do what God's called you to do. And nothing in this earth can stop your forward progress. Now get up and get going. When you come in, the atmosphere should shift. I said, it's going, it's shifting right now. It's shifting because you now are seeing who you are. Hey, you ain't just somebody stumbling in this earth. You are somebody in God. Yes, sir. Now you take that. Don't let it slip. I don't care who's coming up against you. You just say the word. You speak God's word. And if they try to do something to you, just tell them, you shouldn't have done that. Because the Holy Ghost. Sit down. David said, watch this. You can keep that armor. I haven't tested that. See, he had a weapon, all right, and it was in his mouth. He said, Goliath, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hands. This was a 17-year-old boy about my size. That's what I like about that one. About my size. Come on now. See, y'all looking for 6'6". Give me 5'7". The Lord loves me and my wife loves me. Praise God. Come on now. I know what I'm talking about. She can't even turn all this down. Can't even turn it down.
to cool off sometime. Cool off, baby. I'll be with you in a minute. What I'm talking about. That's called recompense. You see what I'm saying now? We're going up to another level. It's not about hate. Not about I'm gonna get bad back at you. God's gonna fight it. He didn't have to do anything hard. He just put something that, like the man said, he said, boy, she looked in the office there, Reverend, and I saw fear on her face. I saw, now I don't know what she saw, but something disturbed her because she knew she had to get me in there. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I couldn't have done that on my own. If you know what I mean? If I'd done anything else, it might have been strife between us and years of strife. And so God got a way of settling it quickly. He said, I will avenge you speedily. And that's all I got. Give the Lord a praise for that. All right. Don't leave. Let me get a chance to call for souls here. I know that some people have come here today, and if you're anything like I was years ago, I knew about God, but I didn't know God. And it caused some real problems in my life. Because I would say that I was more of a pretender. I pretended everything. Everything was okay with me, and it wasn't okay. It was miserable. Pretended that I was doing well. I wasn't doing well. People were calling the job, trying to garnish my check. I'm right walking around there looking like I got expensive suits on and driving a Corvette. I'm just saying, you might be here. And you might have some things going on nobody knows, but God knows. And the reason why he brought you here is because he knows. Let me give you a secret. God loves people more than anything. He loves you so much till he sent his son to die for you. This is why we were still talking and cussing and everything. He still sent him. But because he sent him, this one day when he got you in this place, he knew I was going to preach good news. And the good news is that whosoever comes to him, he will in no wise turn you away. But he says that he will blot out all your transgressions and give you a brand new start. Now that's what happened to me. Not only did He saved me. He healed my body. Not only did he heal my body, he took me totally out of debt. Owe no man nothing but the love. Not only did he do that, but he also took me to the top of the ladder in sales in my company, IBM, in computers. Now, he did all of that when I came to him. He didn't do that before I came to him. In other words, the way of the transgressor gets hard. And God's trying to draw you to him. And people say, well, I tell you what, I want to get something right, Reverend, first before I come. You can't clean a fish till you catch it. You got to come just like you are. Come just like you are. So that's what I had to do. I had to go like I was. Now, he used somebody else to get me to the meeting, but just like he used somebody or television or whatever to get you to this one. But the good news is you're here. And the good news is that God loves you. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even be here if he didn't love you. So now I want you to come all the way. I'd like to pray for you the same prayer they prayed for me that night that turned my life around forever. If you're here, I'm not asking you to join Living Word Christian Center. God may lead you here, may lead you somewhere else. We'll send you there. But the thing is, tonight, I want you to get your sins blotted out. I want you to start all over again, because this is the day of a miracle for you. So if you're here and you hear His voice, He said, don't harden your heart. I'd like to pray with you right now. Right now, right, the same prayer they prayed for me that night that turned my life around forever. If you'd like me to do that, here's what I'd like you to do. Take just a step of faith. Get up out of your chair and come up here and stand with me right here at the altar. And let me pray for you. Come on, come on, no matter who it is.